I greet you in the blessed name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Good to see all of you in the house of the Lord. And once again, I'd like to ask you my favorite question. Are you glad to be in the house of the Lord? Yes, all right. Why? Why? We are here to worship Him, of course. And He has given us this wonderful privilege to come into His house to worship Him. And we always take it for granted that we will be here every Lord's Day. Maybe not, my dear friends. Sometimes we could be overcome by a flu or some kind of sickness. We might be bedridden, and then we can't come to the house of the Lord. And then we realize how valuable and how good it is to be in the house of the Lord. And thank God we are able to be here to worship the Lord. And not only that, this is also an occasion for us to encourage one another in the most holy faith. Remember, when we meet one another, we also want to encourage one another in the most holy faith as we see the day of the Lord approaching, right? And someday, seated here, might be the last Sunday. The Lord may come that Sunday, and then all of us here will be taken up to be with the Lord in the air. And I say all of us with great hope. I trust that every one of us here has the Lord Jesus Christ in his heart, so that when the Lord comes, every one of us will be taken up. And how sad it will be if you think that you have believed when actually you have not believed, and you will be left behind. How sad it will be. Now the topic this morning is God's Word. What is it to you? God's Word, what is it to you? I read to you 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 13. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse 13. 1 Thessalonians 2, 13. Paul says, For this cause also thank we God without ceasing. Because when ye received the word of God, which ye heard of us, ye received it not as the word of man, but as it is in truth, the word of God, which effectually worketh also in you that believe. Paul, Silas, and Timothy brought the gospel to the city of Thessalonica. And we read that the Thessalonians received the word very, very gladly. They received it not as the word of man, but as the word of God. Now, how was this possible? Now, don't forget the Thessalonians. Most of the Thessalonians, or many of the Thessalonians, were idol worshippers. How could they come to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ? How could they turn from idolatry to serve the one true living God? Now, here in Australia, you might not appreciate very, very much what it means to worship idols, right? You have never seen many Chinese temples, so you do not know what it means to worship idols. But those of us who come from Singapore and Malaysia, I think we appreciate it very well. Now, in Singapore, there is this district known as Geylang. I don't know if you've been to Singapore or not, but there's this district called Geylang. And Geylang has got many, many short streets, about 25 or 30 of them, short streets. And each of the streets is about, I think, at the most 200 to 300 meters long. And in practically every of these streets, there is a Chinese temple. And there are all kinds of gods in these temples. When you go to Geylang, you feel as if you are walking into the devil's den. Yes, you really feel that way. Now, then, of course, there will be lots of idol worshippers in that area. Now, it will, of course, take a miracle of the greatest kind to turn these folks who are idolaters from the idolatry to serve the one true living God. Now, the folks in Thessalonica perhaps were living in such an environment. And many of them, as we said, were idol worshippers. Now, let's remember, Paul, Silas, and Timothy were strangers to them. One day, they came to town. These three strangers came to town. And they preached to them. They preached to them Jesus Christ. They preached that Jesus was crucified. He was buried and rose up from the dead. And he died for their sins. And those who would believe in him and repent for their sins they will receive life everlasting. They will be freed from condemnation. Now, these Thessalonians could easily have dismissed them as fly-by-night preachers, fly-by-night false itinerant preachers. And then they could easily have dismissed the word that was preached by them as fairy tales or some kind of Jewish fables or Jewish myths. But no, my dear friends, they did not. They did not. They received the words preached by Paul, Silas, and Timothy as words of the one true living God. That's what they did. But the question is, how could they receive the word of God as the word of God? How could that happen? Now the answer is given to us in 1 Thessalonians chapter 1 and verse 5. Alright, chapter 1 and verse 5. I read for you. For our gospel came not unto you in word only, but also in power and in the Holy Ghost. My dear friends, that's the key and that's the answer. And in much assurance, as you know what manner of men we were among you for your sake. The Holy Spirit worked in the hearts of the Thessalonians and enabled them to receive the word of God as the word of God. And it's true, friends. He's the one who enables us to receive the word of God as the word of God. The Holy Spirit worked in the hearts of the folks at Thessalonica. And that was what he also did in the hearts of the folks in the city of Jerusalem on the day of Pentecost, an event that took place something like 15, 20 years before the time when Paul, Silas, and Timothy came to Thessalonica. This was about 15, 20 years earlier. On the day of Pentecost, remember, Peter and his fellow apostles stood up, and what did they preach? Of course they preached Jesus Christ. They preached that he was the fulfillment of biblical prophecy. They preached that Jesus was crucified, that he was buried, that he rose up from the dead, and that those who believe in him, who will repent from their sins, will have everlasting life, would be saved. And then Peter and his fellow apostles told their hearers very, very clearly, you are the ones who crucified the Lord Jesus Christ. Now these were Jews. They heard the word, and Peter and his fellow apostles told them, you are the ones who crucified the Lord Jesus Christ. And then the hearers were pricking their hearts when they heard the words spoken by the apostles. Now how did it happen? How could they be pricked in their heart? How did that happen? The answer is given to us in Acts chapter 2, if you turn to Acts chapter 2. Acts chapter 2. Acts chapter 2 and verse 4. Acts chapter 2 verse 4. So my first point this morning is he enables us to receive the word of God. The Holy Spirit enables us to receive the word of God. And that is what precisely we want to see in Acts chapter 2 verse 4. And they meaning the apostles, Peter and his fellow apostles, were filled with the Holy Ghost. Now this took place 10 days after the ascension of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ into heaven. The Lord told them to wait in the city of Jerusalem, and they were to pray in the city of Jerusalem, and they did that. And then they were filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Now who gave them utterance? The Holy Spirit. It took place on the day of Pentecost, and the apostles spoke as they were moved by God's mighty Holy Spirit. They spoke the word of God in tongues, and the people heard what the apostles preached in their own respective dialects. Now, not all of them spoke Hebrew. The Jews had been scattered into various places, and they were speaking dialects. And then on that day of Pentecost, on the day of Pentecost, when Peter and his fellow apostles preached to them, they heard what they preached in their respective dialects, in their respective languages. Now, if these words spoken by Peter and his fellow apostles were the words of men, of course the hearers could simply ignore those words. But no, my dear friends, they heard those words as the word of God. The Holy Spirit pricked their hearts. The Holy Spirit, you see, gave utterance to the apostles, and they spoke. And the Holy Spirit then pricked the hearts of the hearers. And then they cried out, "Men and brethren, what shall we do?" You see, they were pricked in their hearts by God's Holy Spirit, and they asked, "Men and brethren, what shall we do?" And verse 38 says, "Then Peter said unto them, Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the forgiveness of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost." Now, who pricked the hearts of the people to cause them to receive the word spoken by Peter and his fellow apostles? As we said, it was the Holy Spirit. And who caused them to recognize that the words spoken by Peter and his fellow apostles were indeed the words of God? Who? Oh, the Holy Spirit, of course. Holy Spirit gave utterance to the apostles, and they spoke. And the people received those words as the word of God. Now the Holy Spirit gives understanding, so that we would recognize God's word as God's word. You see, spiritual things are spiritually discerned. Now, if the Holy Spirit does not give us understanding, we will not understand God's word, and we will not appreciate God's word as God's word. Now and then, we hear of instances of some paintings being stored away in some attic, and then long forgotten. And one day, one of the paintings was discovered, and the owner of the house brought the painting to an art expert who identified that painting as a work done by one great artist in the past, perhaps Leonardo da Vinci. Only then did the owner realize the value of the painting. He didn't realize that before, but now he knew. Now, how did he know? He knew because the art expert had given him the understanding to know that that was the work of a great artist. Likewise, my dear friends, we do not recognize God's word as God's word. We do not value it as God's word until the day the Holy Spirit works in us and gives us the discernment. And when He gives us the discernment, then we recognize that this is God's word. And He did just that, my dear friends, in the hearts of the folks at Thessalonica. And then the folks at Thessalonica recognized that the words spoken by Paul, Silas, and Timothy were no ordinary words, but they were indeed the words of the one true living God. Now my question to all of us here this morning is this. All of us here, do we appreciate that God's word is indeed God's word, and we have received it as God's word? Have we? Do we? My dear friends, do we recognize that this is God's word? Appreciate it as God's word, and have received it as God's word. Now, if we are truly born again, if the Holy Spirit has come to dwell in us, then He will surely give us the discernment. And when He has given us the discernment, then we will definitely recognize that this indeed is God's word. Now, if today, this morning, we do not recognize this as God's word, something could be very, very seriously wrong with us. Perhaps we are not born again. You see, if we are not born again, then the Holy Spirit has not come into us. And if the Holy Spirit has not come into us, then we will not have the capability to understand and to appreciate and to receive this as the word of God. You see? Now, let us say that we recognize that this is the word of God. We are born again, the Holy Spirit has come into us, so we receive this as the word of God. Now the next question is, how well do we appreciate and receive this as the word of God? Now that's the question. How well do we esteem it as being more valuable than, let's say, physical food? Yes, and that was how Job treated God's word. He valued God's word more than he valued physical food. And this was what he said in Job 23:12. Job 23:12, he said, "Neither have I gone back from the commandment of his lips. I have esteemed the words of his mouth more than my necessary food." You see, he said, "I have esteemed the words of his mouth more than my necessary food." Do we esteem God's word as being much of greater value than our physical food? Now, years ago, I remember observing this in the football field. It was halftime, and you know what it was like playing football in Singapore under the in the sweltering heat. By halftime, or even before halftime, you would be completely dehydrated. And so all the players will very, very quickly rush to the sideline to grab their drink at halftime. But you know something? When some of the players were offered cigarettes, or were offered cigarettes to smoke, guess what they went for? Cigarettes or water? Cigarettes! They went for cigarettes instead of water. The cigarettes were more valuable to them than water, which was actually very necessary for them. Of course, here the footballers were craving for something that was bad, something that was no good for them. My point is this: water was necessary to them, but they chose cigarettes over water. Their craving for cigarettes was so powerful that their need for water became secondary. And here, my dear friends, we are talking about the Word of God, something which we need not only for now, but for eternity, something absolutely necessary for us, something absolutely good. Now, do we appreciate it and value the Word of God so much so that we would be prepared to forgo something that is necessary for us, such as physical food? Would our hunger, my dear friends, for the Word of God be so strong that we will be willing to go for the Word of God than for physical food? Now, the Word of God tells us that it is the Holy Spirit who creates this hunger in us for the Word of God. It is He who does that. You see, we read in 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 2. Please turn with me to 1 Peter 2 and verse 2. 1 Peter 2 and verse 2. I'm talking about the Holy Spirit creating this hunger in us for the Word of God. 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 2. As newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the Word, that ye may grow thereby. Now, who is the one who gives us the new birth? Who? My dear friends, it's the Holy Spirit who gives us the new birth. He is the one who causes us to become new babes in the Lord Jesus Christ. And because He is the one who causes us to become new babes in Christ, He is also the one who gives us this desire for the sincere milk of the Word of God. Friends, it is very, very important that we pray that by the grace of God, the Holy Spirit of God, who creates this desire in us for His Word, will cause this hunger in us to be so great, so great, so powerful, that it will be greater and more powerful than our hunger for physical food. And what a great spiritual revival we will have in this church if all of us hunger for His Word more than we hunger for physical food. Don't you think so? Yes. If we all hunger for His Word more than we hunger for physical food, there surely will be a great revival in this church. Now, our Lord Jesus Christ teaches us that God's Word is definitely more important than physical food. Yes, His Word, more important than physical food. There was this occasion when the Lord Jesus Christ was led by His mighty Holy Spirit to go into the wilderness for 40 days and 40 nights, during which time He fasted and He prayed, and of course He became very hungry. And then came the tempter, the evil one. And then the tempter came and presented this temptation to Him, because the Lord was very hungry. He said to Him, "If thou be the Son of God, command that these stones be made bread." But Jesus answered and said, "It is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God." Now, the Lord was actually quoting these words from the book of Deuteronomy. I'd like us to look at Deuteronomy, the words that the Lord Jesus Christ quoted from. Deuteronomy chapter 8, verses 2 and 3. Please turn to Deuteronomy chapter 8, verses 2 and 3. And these were the words of Moses. The children of Israel had now come to the land of Moab, and they were about to enter into the promised land, and they had completed their 40-year wilderness wandering. And Moses was reviewing with the children of Israel the events that took place in time past over the 40 years. Deuteronomy 8 and verse 2. And Moses said, "And thou shalt remember all the way which the Lord thy God led thee these 40 years in the wilderness, to humble thee, and to prove thee, and to know what was in thy heart, whether thou wouldst keep his commandments or no." Verse 3. "And he humbled thee, and suffered thee to hunger, and fed thee with manna, which thou knewest not, neither did thy fathers know, that he might make thee know that man doth not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of the Lord doth man live." As I said, Moses in that instance was reviewing with the children of Israel the events that took place over the past 40 years before they arrived at this place called Moab. And he was trying to remind them of the faithfulness and the goodness of God. Now, the children of Israel, like all human beings, at the start of the wilderness wandering, will surely be very, very concerned, very, very worried that they would die of hunger in the 40-year wilderness wandering. Where are we going to get bread over the 40 years? And they thought that their survival was dependent on bread, and bread alone and nothing else. Yes, without bread, they thought they would die. But friends, the Lord was able to provide for them over those 40 years. In spite of the fact that they didn't have bread to eat. Yes. How? How did the Lord provide for them? How? My dear friends, simply by His word. Simply by His word. By His word, He commanded manna to come down from heaven. And it fell upon the children of Israel for 40 years in their wilderness wandering. So what is more important, friends? Physical food, bread, or the Word of God? Which one? Of course it was the Word of God. You see, by His Word, He commanded manna to fall down from heaven. And by His Word, could He not feed the children of Israel with air? Yes, no? Of course. So the Word of God definitely is far, far more important than physical bread. So the Lord was telling Satan, "Tempter, you are wrong in saying that the most necessary thing is bread, and that the children of Israel will surely die without bread." No, my dear friends, man can live without bread. He lives by depending on God's word, which is all-powerful, by which he can create anything he wants to create, any kind of food. He can turn air into food for you to eat. That's what the Lord was saying to Satan. May the Lord's Spirit teach us this truth, my dear friends. God's word is of far, far greater value than physical food. Now, if we have received God's word as God's word, let me ask you, and I ask myself also, are we receiving it so well that today we are taking heed to it? Really taking heed to it? Are we hearing it? Are we obeying it? In Mark chapter 4, verse 24, the Lord said this, "Take heed what you hear." Take heed what you hear. "With what measure you meet, it shall be measured to you, and unto you that hear shall more be given." Take heed what you hear. Now, right now, I ask you at the worship service, right now, this moment, what voices are you heeding? Right now, are you heeding the voices of some movie shows that you saw in the past week, or maybe a show that you saw last night, or some other things? And you're not, or are you listening to the voice of the preacher from the pulpit? Which one are you listening to? Now, the voices from the shows could be so captivating that you are so distracted by these voices this morning. So much so that the voice of the preacher could be muted. You are not hearing him. You seem to be hearing, but you might not be hearing. Oh, if you are hearing, you say, what? This preacher sounds so terribly boring. Yes. When he's going to end his babbling, you might be saying. All right, now you might be listening, all right. But you might not regard the preacher as a mouthpiece for the one true living God bringing his word to you. You do not take heed to his word. You do not take heed to, I mean his word meaning the word of God. You do not take care to take heed to the word of God. You do not obey it. And you do not care to apply his word to your life. And so what happens? You're not paying attention. You're not taking heed. So no sooner had this preacher finished his preaching than you have forgotten all that he has said. True? When you set up or step out of this building, all that you have heard this morning would have disappeared into thin air. Do you believe what I say? Yes, no. Maybe you don't believe. Alright? I dare say this, my dear friends. Some, if not many of you, will have forgotten what the preacher said at the worship service the moment you step out through the doors of this church. Let's put a test to ourselves. Do you remember what was preached here from this pulpit last week? Do you remember? You see? I think many of us here would have forgotten. But friends, if you had taken heed to what the Lord said to you last week from his word, you will remember. My dear friends, if you had taken heed, you will remember. There will be surely certain portions of the word of God which you would have applied to your lives. Now, if you had applied certain portions to your life, could you have forgotten those portions? Of course not. Because you had applied those portions to your life, you could not forget those portions. So, my dear friends, how needful it is to take heed to his word. But how may we take heed to his word? We know it's vitally important that we take heed to his word, but how? How? Now, the way to do it is this. We require discipline. We must make preparation for the Lord's Day. And when should we begin making preparation for the Lord's Day? This morning? When you were dressing up? No, my dear friends, you make preparation for the Lord's Day from Saturday evening. Now, if you stay up late on Saturday evening to watch a late night movie, or if you went partying on Saturday evening, how can you be in the frame of mind when you come into the house of the Lord to listen to God's word? You will not be in that frame of mind. Yes. And then chances are you will be coming to church late also. And when you are here physically, you are present. But where is your mind? Your mind is absent. Your mind is not here. Friends, let's let our preparation be right. Prepare for the Lord's Day from Saturday evening. And heads of home must set the spiritual tone for the children to follow. You must set the example. We must teach our children at home to be expectant of the Lord's blessings when you come to the house of the Lord to worship him. And you must teach your children to prepare themselves to take heed to God's word, and when they come to the house of the Lord to worship him. And then come to the house of the Lord early. Spend some time in prayer before the worship service starts to prepare your hearts to receive God's word when it is given to you. And when the worship leader proclaims, "The Lord is in his holy temple. Let the whole earth keep silence before him." Quickly respond with this prayer. "Speak, Lord, for your servant heareth." Yes. That is how we prepare to receive God's word. Pray this prayer very, very sincerely. And surely the Holy Spirit will enable you to receive his word. Will you do that, my dear friends? Every Lord's Day, before the worship service starts, sit there, pray for a while. "Lord, speak to me. Speak, for your servant heareth." Years ago in our church in Pandan, there was this American family that made sure that their children take heed to God's word at the worship service. And the children were not very old. I think the youngest, I think, was possibly about 4 years old or so. And then there was one maybe 7, another one about 10, 11 or so. And then the parents will make sure that the children paid attention to God's word. You see, when they got home, the parents will quiz their children on what they heard at the worship service. Now, don't you think this is a good thing to do, parents? Yes, of course. I urge you to do this with your children. And I think it's a very, very good idea if you would encourage your children to take down notes so that you can quiz them when you get home. But I think also it is might be needful that you yourself take down notes so that you know what to quiz them on when you go home. So, my dear friends, prepare your hearts to this, receive God's word. Then at the end of the worship service, it will be a great blessing to us, and I thank God that many of you are doing this, at the end of the worship service, to spend a short time reflecting on the message that was spoken from the pulpit. Now, it will be a very, very great blessing to us if we could sincerely come before the Lord and say, Lord, thank you for the word. I've heard your word, and Lord, I promise to take heed to your word. My dear friends, then the word spoken from this pulpit will be very, very beneficial to you. Yes, we must take heed to his word, and we must also do so diligently, not superficially. Take heed, but do so diligently. The word of Luke chapter 8, verse 18 says, take heed, therefore, how you hear. Earlier on it was, take heed what you will hear. Take heed what you hear. But now it is, take heed therefore how ye hear. For whosoever hath, to him shall be given. And whosoever hath not, from him shall be taken. Even that which he hath, he seemeth to have. And that's Luke 8 verse 18. Now in the word of God, we have the case of two sisters, Mary and Martha, who lived with their brother in the village of Bethany. That was the day when the Lord Jesus Christ visited this family. And we have this record given to us in Luke chapter 10. I think it's worthwhile for us to look at this passage. This incident of the Lord coming to the home of these two sisters and this brother. Luke chapter 10 verse 38 to 42. I read for you these verses. Now it came to pass as they went, meaning the Lord and his disciples, that he entered into a certain village, and a certain woman named Martha received him into her house. And she had a sister called Mary, which also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. But Martha was cumbered about much serving, and came to him and said, Lord, dost thou not care that my sister hath left me to serve alone? Bid her therefore that she help me. Verse 41. And Jesus answered and said unto her, Martha, Martha, thou art careful and troubled about many things, but one thing is needful, and Mary hath chosen that good part which shall not be taken away from her. Mary was having that good part. Yes, she was taking heed to the word of the Lord, and she was doing it diligently, drinking in every word that the Lord spoke. That activity was very needful. And the Lord said, Mary had chosen that good part, and that good part would not be taken away from her. How blessed Mary must have been. I'm sure she must have been filled with great joy and with great peace, listening to the words of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Martha missed that wonderful blessing, that very needful part, by not taking heed to God's word. She was encumbered with much serving, preparing to provide hospitality to our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Our taking heed to God's word must be diligent, like the way Mary took heed to the words of our Lord. It must not be superficial. Luke 8, 18. I read that verse again. If you look at that verse, Luke 8, 18. Take heed therefore how ye hear. For whosoever hath, to him shall be given, and whosoever hath not, from him shall be taken even that which he seemeth to have. If we are superficial in taking heed to God's word, my dear friends, we are not going to benefit from God's word. It is like a person learning to play piano. He learns a few phrases, and then he plays those few phrases on the piano. But he doesn't care to go beyond that. He doesn't practice. He doesn't practice diligently. So in time, what happens? Would he have learned something? In time he would have learned nothing, and all that he has learned in time would have been forgotten because of disuse, because he had not been diligent in learning. Friends, let's not be superficial in hearing God's word. Let's take heed to his word at the worship service here, and let's take heed to it when we are doing our quiet time. And let us not heed it superficially, but heed it diligently when we hear God's word at a worship service, or at the Bible study, or when we read God's word during our quiet time. Let us, by the grace of God, say, Amen. Amen. Say Amen to the truth. And then say to the Lord, Lord, speak, for your servant heareth. Next, let us see that the Holy Spirit enables us to apply God's word to our lives. Now, that's my second point. The Holy Spirit enables us to apply God's word to our lives. Now, 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 13. For this cause also thank we God without ceasing, because when ye received the word of God which ye heard of us, ye received it not as the word of man, but as it is in truth, the word of God, which effectually work also in you that believe. See what the Holy Spirit did. He used God's word to work effectually. It means to work powerfully in the hearts of the Thessalonians. Remember, we said that it was the Holy Spirit that caused the Thessalonians to receive God's word as God's word. And now, we see here that it is He who makes use of the word to work in our hearts, to work powerfully in our hearts, just as He did in the hearts of the Thessalonians. And His word turned those who were deep in idolatry to serve the one true living God. Verse 9. For they themselves show of us what manner of entering in we had unto you, and how you turned to God from idols to serve the living and true God. Yes, the Holy Spirit work in their hearts, cause God's word to work mightily in the hearts of the Thessalonians, as a result of which they turn from idolatry to the one true living God. Now, if we profess that we are believers, and we say that God's word is really working in our heart, the Holy Spirit is working in our hearts, and He's taking His word to work in our hearts, then something must necessarily happen to us. First of all, we must give up our idols to serve the one true living God. When we read God's word, which tells us, Thou shalt have no other gods before me. Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image. Thou shalt not bow down to them, nor serve them. The Holy Spirit, who has come to dwell in us, will make use of His word to work effectually in us, work powerfully in us, to cause us to respond to this word. And so we will say, Yes, Lord, I'll give up my idols. I will not allow my sports, my hobbies, my children, my girlfriend, my boyfriend, my car, my house, my ambition to consume me. No, Lord, I will not allow this to consume me. I will serve you, and I will want to put you first place in my life. Friends, that will happen. Yes, if we are diligently taking heed to God's word, and when the Holy Spirit applies His word to our lives, this powerful work will be done by His word. Now, if we have not turned from idols to serve the Lord, what it means is God's word has not worked in our hearts. And if God's word has not worked in our hearts, it could possibly mean that the Holy Spirit is not in us. You see, if the Holy Spirit is in us, He will surely take God's word to work in our lives, to work in our lives powerfully, to cause us to turn from our idols to the one true living God. Now, if His word works in us, we will surely identify idols as idols, and we will give them up, and we will want to worship the Lord. A woman, a professed believer, idolizes her daughter. She dotes on her, gives in to all her tantrums, and she says, No, I must not frustrate her. It will be potentially and psychologically very, very damaging to her, because she is mentally very fragile. Now it's true, this daughter of hers is mentally fragile, emotionally quite unstable. But it is also very true that this mother idolizes her. But she will not admit it. And what has happened? She has given in to her tantrums all her life. And now she has a grown-up daughter. And this grown-up daughter has become a spoiled brat who is giving her lots of heartaches. Now if the word of God has worked in the hearts, in the heart of this mother, she would no doubt have identified her daughter as her idol and would have taken heed to God's word, which tells her, train up a child in the way that he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. She herself would surely be putting God first, and she would be teaching her children how to put God first in her life. Yes, but she didn't give up her idol. She didn't give up her idolatry, as a result of which she has raised up a spoiled brat. Now in the case of the folks at Thessalonica, the Holy Spirit caused the word of God to work in the hearts of those Thessalonians, so much so that they became exemplary believers. They became joyful believers in spite of the fact that they were facing persecution. And they became hopeful believers. And they also became very, very evangelistic. I think we covered that some messages ago. But you look at verses 6 to 8 as a review for us this morning. 6 to 8. And Paul says, and you became followers of us and of the word, having received the word in much affliction, with joy of the Holy Ghost. You see, they received the word of God with much joy, in spite of the affliction that they suffered, in spite of the persecution. So that you were examples to all that believe in Macedonia and Achaia. You see, they became exemplary believers. And verse 8. For from you sounded out the word of the Lord, not only in Macedonia and Achaia, but also in every place your faith to God's word is spread abroad. You see, they became very evangelistic, so that we need not to speak anything. And then you go down to verse 10. You see how hopeful they were. And to wait for his Son from heaven, whom he raised from the dead, even Jesus, which delivered us from the wrath to come. So they became very hopeful believers, waiting for the return of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Friends, if we are truly born again, if we have truly trusted the Lord Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, and truly repented from our sins, the Holy Spirit surely would have come to dwell in us. And if he has come to dwell in us, my dear friends, something must happen. We will surely receive God's word as God's word. Now, the next question is, all right, we have received God's word. But how do we appreciate God's word? How well do we appreciate God's word? How well do we receive it? Do we value God's word more than we value physical food? And do we take heed to it? And do we make every effort to take heed to it and be very, very diligent to take heed to it? Do we obey it? And if we truly value it and we truly take heed to God's word diligently, as we said, what a great revival there will be in this church. And if we profess that we are true believers in the Lord Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit will surely make use of his word to work powerfully in our lives. He will cause us to give up what? Give up our idols in our lives. Yes, and he will cause us to be exemplary believers. He will cause us to be joyful believers. He will cause us to be evangelistic believers. And he will cause us to be very hopeful believers. Yes, we will all be waiting for the soon return of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. My dear friends, do you have the Holy Spirit in you? If you have the Holy Spirit in you, my dear friends, you must be receiving God's word as God's word. And if the Holy Spirit is in you today, he will surely take his word and work powerfully in your life. Do you have him in your heart today? Amen. Let's pray. Our gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you, O Lord, for your Holy Spirit, who has enabled us to receive your word as your word. And we thank you that he dwells in us, and that he causes your word to work powerfully in us to cause us to turn from idols, to turn from our wayward, sinful ways to the one true living God. We pray for those who have not received you as Lord and Savior yet, that this morning they will come to believe in you. And we know that unless they come to trust the Lord Jesus Christ as the Lord and Savior, and unless they repent from their sins, the Holy Spirit will not come into them. Lord, we pray that those who have not repented today and have not trusted in Jesus yet will come today at the foot of the cross to receive him as Lord and Savior and to repent from their sins and to allow his precious blood to cleanse them of their sins. In Jesus' blessed name we pray. Amen.